Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. Welcome to First Baptist Church Contemporary Worship, and it's great to be here. Let's stand, we'll pray, and sing some praise to the Lord as we prepare our hearts for what God has for us this morning. We've been praying already that God would reveal himself to us today as he desires, and that we'd be ready for whatever he shines upon us and shows us today. Lord, we do pray for your presence and your power in our lives and in the life of this church. We thank you for the way you move among us and in us and through us. And we ask you to do that today. We seek you. We seek to worship you. We seek to be the true worshipers that you desire. And help us today to do that and be that. I pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit move among us today to teach us, to grow us into your image, the image of Jesus, your Son. And Lord, we love you and praise you. Bless this time as we sing, and may we live out the scripture that we sing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
It all comes down to this, what you require of me. Love my neighbor as myself, and you above all things. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God, in all things. With you, God, it all comes down to this, to be your hands and feet, good news to all the world, the truth will set us free. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with you, God. In all things, in all ways, walk humbly with you, God.
It's beauty for ashes, it's morning to dancing, closer and closer the kingdom of heaven.
It's beauty for ashes, it's morning to dancing, it's closer and closer the kingdom of heaven. Love mercy, walk humbly with you, God, in all things, in all ways, walk humbly with you, God.
Amen. Let's praise the Lord together this morning. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So we go back to 1978-79 contemporary music. We're going to sing this. This is how I learned that scripture, by singing this scripture song. So we're going to sing it together. We're going to have the guys sing the first part. Ladies are going to do kind of an echo or a round to that. But it'll help us to grow this morning and to remember the scripture and to hopefully do what the scripture calls us to do.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
And he shall lift you up higher and higher, and he shall lift you up.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself
in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
And He shall lift you up. In the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
And He shall lift you up higher and higher, and He shall lift you up.
Welcome. Glad you're here this morning, part of our early morning worship. Take a few moments and wander around and welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Great to see God's people fellowshipping with one another. You may be seated as we keep going. We sing about the goodness of God. He is good. He's good all the time. So we praise Him. Even when things are difficult, trials and tribulations that we go through, God is still good. And He's working for our good in the midst of things that are not good. So we're thankful God is always at work like that for us. So I'm thankful that you love one another, you greet one another, you care for one another, you pray for one another. That's what church is supposed to be. And that's what we are becoming more and more every week as we seek to follow the Lord. Let's worship as we sing about God's goodness, His love, His unfailing.
Oh, Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness. And
Ushers, if y'all will come. Father, thank you for the beauty of this day. What a beautiful day. And to be in your house, to worship with brothers and sisters and lift up this worship to you, Father, we're grateful. We're thankful. What a wonderful day. Help us to realize today, Father, that sin is a trap. Man, it's a trap. It looks good, sounds good, smells good, feels good at first. It always does. But it's a trap. And it brings pain and destruction and hurt and heartache. Anything that we do that is against your divine guidance and will for our lives brings eventually pain. So I thank you today, Father, that as the body of Christ, we come together to hear truth. Lies surround us, hit us at every corner. And so I am so thankful and I am so grateful. Those words are so inadequate, but so grateful in my heart that today we get to come to your house and in the midst of all of that, hear truth. That sin is a trap, and that guidance and direction, love and grace from you leads us to everlasting life, abundant life, and freedom. Anything less is bondage. That's true, Father, when it comes to our money, time, talents, everything we are and everything we have. So, Father, help us release our sinfulness to you, trust you. Help us to give in a way, Father, that brings honor and glory to you, the heart of a cheerful giver. And all these things, Father, we worship you today to give you praise and honor and glory for who you are, for what you've given us in Jesus. We celebrate the gospel today, Father. The gospel is our life. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's follow him today.
If you hate me, then
Let's pray. Lord, we do choose today to follow Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for drawing us close to you. I thank you, Lord, for the name of Jesus, that there's no other name by which we can be saved other than his name. I thank you that at his name every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that you are the Lord. We bless you today. I pray as your word is proclaimed to us that we would receive it and apply the truth to our lives each day, and help us, Lord, to be followers of you and take the Jesus way and not choose our own way. That you will make us more and more like Jesus so that our desires would be your desires. And we love you and praise you. Bless Joel now. Strengthen him as he delivers the message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise team, thank you for leading us this morning. You know how things come to your mind and you kind of remember, but you don't remember? That was me kind of last Sunday. Did I spill my water last Sunday? Did I? I did, didn't I? What happened to that? Where did it go? Why do I remember that all of a sudden? It just, I had it on the chair, didn't I?
I was not quick.
What?
I wasn't quick.
Nobody grabbed it?
That's right.
Okay, all right. I don't know why that came to my mind. I'm thinking, why did I think Rachel, I remember Rachel cleaning up after me. Is that right? Yeah, thank you, Rachel.
Sorry, I have to replay.
What? I don't know why that all of a sudden came to my mind, but all right. So Genesis chapter 11 today. Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. So we're back and forth, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. So we're looking at all of these great stories, the great stories from the Old Testament, great stories from the New Testament. And we're finding the Father. Who is he? What is he doing for us? How does he guide us? How does he direct us? Where do we find ourselves in the story? And so this is one of the great, 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 great Old Testament stories, the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11. Last week we were in Mark chapter 11, the cleansing of the temple. And so we're jumping back into the Old Testament now. The last time I preached from this passage of Scripture, this great story, was May of 2022. And on that Sunday, it was the first Sunday of May, and so I had been working that spring to do a summer series. And the summer series was on the truth claims of the gospel. And so we spent the first part of the summer talking about truth. What is truth? Because we live in a culture that has no clue what truth is. Now, I'm not talking about facts. We don't know that either. But I'm talking about truth. I'm talking about what is actual truth. And we spent several weeks just defining truth. And then we spent the last half of the summer talking about, well, now how do we respond to that? And we talked about thousands of different responses to the truth claims of the gospel. Sometimes we respond really good to the gospel. Sometimes we respond really bad to the gospel. Sometimes cultures respond really good to the gospel. Sometimes cultures respond really bad to the gospel. And so we then ended that series just kind of bringing it all together, talking about truth. Now, what do you do with all of that? The truth claim of the gospel. How do you live your life now based on the truth claim of the gospel? Now, what got me there was COVID. If you'll remember, 2022, we're now 2 years and 2 months into COVID, and I had all I could take of COVID after 1 week. All right? So, yeah, just just ask Janice. She'll give you all the information that you need to have about me losing it during COVID. So I was done after 1 week. Well, by 2 years and 2 months, I was a basket case. Not COVID itself. I'm not talking about the disease. I'm talking about our silliness and our response to that silliness. And just the out of control. I've never, ever in my lifetime witnessed a world and a culture that loved lying and misinformation more than we did trying to come out of COVID. It was insane. The willingness to love a lie and to support lying was just out of control to me. So, the Lord just put on my heart truth. Because every day, the people that I'm going to preach to, every day, they are force-fed. Lies. Not just about COVID, but just about everything. And so I just really had this strong sense of, man, the body of Christ needs truth. In the midst of all this mess, lying, out of control, we need truth. The truth claim of the gospel. You can't beat it. That's eternal life. And so we started that series on the Tower of Babel because that series, we needed to start off that series looking at ourselves. What's the problem? Is the problem that we're lying about COVID? No. The problem is that I love me. That's the problem. The problem is that I want to make much of me. I want to be in the center of all things. And so that's where we started that series. Today, in this series, we're going to look at it differently. I mean, today we're looking at this passage, this great story, totally different than we did 2 years ago. But what we're looking at today is we're talking about our desperate need for the gospel. King Solomon, the great King Solomon, at the end of Ecclesiastes, basically says, y'all, give it a rest. We act like there's something new. We live our lives. Now, this is my translation of King Solomon. All right, you get that. I'm not quoting the King James Version here. But King Solomon is basically comes to the end and he says, y'all, you act like there's something new under the sun. Like we haven't tried it all. Like this thing called sin and leading into sin is new to us. Really? King Solomon, there's nothing new. We've tried it all. Everything has been tried. We love sin, and we love making much of ourselves. And of course, and this series is leading us to the truth, and that's why you need a Savior. Let's look at this great story. Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language. They used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia, and they settled there. They began saying to each other, all right, let's make bricks and let's harden them with fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. And then they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves and a tower that reaches all the way into the sky. This will make us famous. And this will keep us from being scattered all over the world. We don't like the Lord's plan. We like ours. But the Lord came down and looked at the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people They're united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. And then they won't be able to understand each other. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world. And they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel. Because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. And in this way, he scattered them all over the world. So, from the very beginning of time, and this is Genesis, this is very beginning, the events of human history, we see humanity's aspirations of being like God. And the most illustrative story of this is the Tower of Babel. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language. They used the same words. So back in the Garden of Eden, there was no need for translators. Everyone spoke the same language. And speaking the same language, they had the same values. They built a city. Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches to the sky. So from the very, very, very beginning, this dream of human progress, the dream of the human spirit has been to build a city of such magnificence, such praise. Look at us, that it reaches to the pinnacle of heaven itself. It's part of our nature. It's just part of our sinful nature to build monuments to our achievements and our accomplishments. This will make us famous, they said. Even atheists get it. The 19th century philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, the atheist philosopher, he said this, and he was right. All right, very rarely are you going to hear me say that the atheists are right, but this atheist was right. The most fundamental drive of the human heart, he wrote, is the will to power, a lust, he called it. An atheist. A lust that we have as human beings for dominance. And he was right. And this is what drives us as fallen humanity. It is the legacy of Eden. It is the living out of the serpent's seduction when the serpent said, you, Adam, Eve, you will be as God. Sounds good. I mean, all right, no, let's just be honest. Let's just, all right, no more preaching. All right, I'm taking a break from preaching. So let's just me and you talking, all right? So we're just sitting around, we're eating dinner, and I'm just talking to you. Why should God get all the glory? Seriously. I do some good stuff. Why should God get all the glory? I mean, God, come on, y'all. We look at this thing called the Bible and Genesis to Revelation, but can we not take just a little bit of the glory for ourselves? Are we asking too much here? We've all been called by God to have dominion over the earth for God's glory and not our own, but we want glory for ourselves. And that's what's going on at Babel. The twisting, and that's exactly what I just did. Because in your human nature, and you hear me ask that question, and your human nature says, yeah. Can we not just take a little for ourselves? And our human nature is the twisting of a legitimate task by God that was given to humanity. There's certainly nothing wrong with building. We've built here. In 99, our old sanctuary that went this way burned to the ground. And so we spent about a year and a half and we built the sanctuary that's here. There's nothing wrong with that. We've renovated all of these things. We're building a parking lot in the back. And in 2 weeks from today, on the 19th, we're going to start a new series called Building by Faith. You'll hear a lot about that in the next couple of weeks, Building by Faith. And so there's nothing wrong with building. We've built before, we're going to build some more. There's nothing wrong with sowing and reaping. Those are legitimate tasks God gave to us in creation. But they're not to be done under our own authority, under His authority and for His glory. But humanity wanted to build a city for himself, to build his own kingdom, to make a name for himself and not for God. And this is not just the story of the ancient defects of human beings. But we've made our way to a certain point. No. This is our story. This is my story. This is your story. This is our story. Because Babel represents you, me. And we find ourselves just like the people in Babylonia so many years ago. Let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. And then the Lord came down to inspect the city. And he did not like what he saw. Look, the people are united. Hear what he's saying? These crazy sinners, they've pulled together. And they all speak the same language. After then, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. And that way the Lord scattered them all over the world and they stopped building that great city. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages and in this way scattered them all over the world. Dallas Willard wrote a great word about this. He went, "The greatest building project ever attempted was resisted by God. And it ended in total chaos and confusion. Every attempt by humanity to build his or her own city and kingdom, it's me, will always," and this is my point today, you mark this down just like Moses got it off the rock, it will always end in chaos and confusion. Always. It always has. And it always will. Any success we enjoy will be short-lived. For the Lord will bring into judgment every hidden thing, every secret thought. That scares me. King Solomon's last word in Ecclesiastes is true when he said, God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. Nothing built for the glory of man will survive his scrutiny. But what is done for His glory will endure forever. And this is where the gospel comes into play. The gospel gives us an answer to our hopeless story. The gospel gives us an answer to our chaos and confusion. The gospel is God's answer to our sinfulness that puts us on a pathway to death and hell. We shake our fist at God and say, "We're in charge. We run the show. We determine what we can and cannot do." Sounds like the world I live in. We determine what we can and cannot do. And we shower glory for ourselves because we love making much of ourselves. It is our sin condition and it is our downfall. But thanks be to God, He gives us an answer in the gospel. And for those of us, and here's the point, everybody that's in here today, for those of us who can put on spiritual glasses and realize just how wrong our sin condition is and our desperate need for an answer in the gospel, that's what God has given to us. The gospel says that in Jesus and because of Jesus and only because of Jesus, I will forgive your sins. I will give you eternal life, abundant life, freedom from the condemnation of your sin when all you deserve is death and hell. So we started this series 5 weeks ago. Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. And we'll end next week with the feeding of the 5,000 in the New Testament. And the point has been to find ourselves in the story. They are a part of our story. And when we look at those stories and we study them accurately, we learn more about God the Father. And we learn how He has revealed Himself to us so that we might worship Him and that we might glorify Him to the best of our ability. And today in the Tower of Babel, we see our sin condition. We see our desperate need for an answer, and that answer is in the gospel. So today, my goal is to warn you. And I've been trying to warn you from the very beginning prayer. That's the goal. That's what I'm called to do today. To warn you. Church, it's a trap. The problem in the Tower of Babel was that they fell for the trap. They walked out onto the spider web thinking that it was fine. And it held them. And the warning for today, church, is it is a trap. Be very, very careful, church. When I'm reminded of a little cute story. When Carson, our youngest, Mary Glenn, when they were married, we were at the rehearsal dinner. And y'all, they had, it was good. But they had the best blueberry cheesecake you've ever put in your mouth. What, baby? It was unbelievable. It was so good. And gosh, I don't know what, all of a sudden, the meal was good, but this blueberry cheesecake was just unbelievable. And I was standing up there to get a second piece. All right. So there and here's the problem. And I was standing by Mary Glenn's two brothers, Will and Wright. And Wright had just finished, he had just finished seminary. And he was about to go out into the ministry. And I said, Wright, I'm about to give you a good lesson in the ministry. This blueberry cheesecake, it's like sin. You're about to eat it, and it's good. It's so good. It's unbelievable. But you're probably going to come back for a second helping. And tonight at 10 o'clock, you're going to be miserable that you took a second helping of this blueberry cheesecake. It's a trap, right? Don't fall for the trap. What tastes really good at the beginning will have you up all night miserable. It's a trap, church. Be careful. Be very careful. But God, can I not just have a little bit of glory for myself? Huh? All right. Be careful out there. Father, thank you so much for a great story. What a great story. It is me. It's the story of Joel. I want to do my own thing, my own way. And it always leads to pain. It's a trap. Looks good. Man, it looks good. It tastes good. But boy, later on, you got to pay a price for it. So, and that's exactly what happened with the Tower of Babel. I mean, it's not a bad, come on. Hey, let's build a great city here for ourselves. We want some of the glory. Sounds really good. But that wasn't the task that God had given to them. So it ended in pain and destruction. And we're still paying for it. So thank you, Father, for the gift of truth in the midst of a world that is so filled with lies. Thank you for that gift, Father. Thank you for the gospel today. We find ourselves in the gospel, in need, desperate. For those that don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord today, Father, may they know Christ today. May they know the glory of Jesus. Not themselves, but Jesus. Who He is and what He's given in the good news. And for those of us that know You, Father, thank You for that word today from Your word of warning. And I pray we hear it. Thank You, Father, for all that You've given to us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is Chain Breaker. If you've never trusted Christ, then I'll be here at the front to receive you. If you come, make that public today. If you need to come pray, join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do as we stand and sing.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom, or saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. If you got chains, He's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker.
If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, feel it, somebody testify. You got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, unshaken Savior. If you got chains, He's a chain.
It's a lie. All right, that's good enough. Please be seated for just a moment. We have Justin, Angelique, and Jace Plunkett are coming today. They've been with us for about 7 months, started coming around Easter. And so they've been with us for a while, and they're coming today saying, we know Jesus is Savior and Lord. We have followed Christ in believers' baptism. This is where we want to officially join to be members of First Baptist Church and to be a part of the mission and the ministry here at our church. So all of you in favor with the Plunketts coming today? Nobody, of course, being opposed to that, and they're coming today. So as soon as we're done here in just a few moments, then you come by and say a word of encouragement to the Plunketts as they come to be a part of FBC. All right, what do we got first? Building by faith. All right, so 2 weeks from today, on Sunday, October the 19th, we will start this campaign called Building by Faith, Purpose, Vision, and Generosity. And on that Sunday, the thing special about that Sunday, both worship services, we will be focused on building by faith. But during the Sunday school hour, youth all the way up to our senior adults, adults, youth, all will stay in here in the sanctuary. And we'll start at about 9:30. Lyndall, Brian, myself, others, we'll take a few moments to start really communicating, trying to communicate to you as a church family, where are we headed? What are we doing? Where are we going as far as building by faith is concerned? So that'll be a great opportunity for you as a church family to be able to sit and listen to where we're going as far as our church is concerned. So building by faith, we'll start that in 2 weeks from today. And on that Sunday, we'll finish at 9:15, stay a few minutes, have a few minutes to go to the restroom, come back at 9:30, and we'll start communicating about our future. October the 19th, so you see that launch Sunday. We've already talked about that. And then November, we'll move on into November. We'll end up on the Sunday before Thanksgiving on Reveal Sunday, November the 23rd. So we'll spend about 5 or 6 weeks focusing in on where we're headed as far as our future is concerned. All right? Baby dedication, October 26th. Mike has already got five families that are going to dedicate their children, babies on that day. So if you'd like to do that, make sure you see Micah. All right. Trunk or treat, October 29. What a fun night in the life of First Baptist Church. So come be a part of that. Mature adults, October 14 and October 23rd. Sign-ups on the Old Lord's Supper table for those things. Scott's Orchard and Top of the Rock Restaurant. Okay. This is fall break, as you know, and so there's only one thing that will happen Wednesday night here. That one thing that will happen will be deacons meeting. So everything else is canceled. No supper, no Bible studies, no discipleship trainings, no youth, no children, no music. Everything's canceled for that night except for deacons meeting at 6 o'clock. Other than that, we'll have a good week of fall break. All right, Kim?
So, unless the Lord builds a house, the labors are in vain. So we want to entrust this building by faith into the Lord's hands.
Yeah.
So it's very important as we begin this spiritual journey together that we bathe it in prayer. Prayer is the key that unlocks the heavens. God is sometimes just waiting on us to pray before He acts. He's wanting to mold us more than doing what He's going to do. He wants us to become more and more in the image of His Son. So that's what we want to do on the night of the 19th. So we're going to have all the activities that morning, but at 6:30 p.m. right here in the sanctuary, we're going to dedicate this campaign, this spiritual journey to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to be leading that event that night. And I'm asking our music ministry people to be involved with that. Because music, we're singing our prayers and we're praying our songs. So we're going to be doing that night, plus some intense prayer time as well, guided prayer. So I hope that you'll make plans to come and be here at 6:30 that night. But the multi-generational choir, children all the way up, are going to be singing some songs of worship and hymns that night to kind of help us through the prayer event. So in order to get ready for that, our youth choir is going to meet on the 12th, which is next Sunday at 1 o'clock, just right in there. So guys and girls from sixth grade on up, come and be a part of that at 1 o'clock. And then also we're going to have a multi-generational rehearsal at 7:45 on the Wednesday night following that, which is the 12th, or the 15th. The 15th is the night. So on October 15th at 7:45 to 8:15, we'll be going over the music for that event, plus introducing you to the multi-generational Christmas music. So if you've ever been a part of the multi-generational choir or you're interested in doing that, you can't be a full-time commitment to any of the choirs, but you can do it for a short term. That's your event. And be here for that night.
All right, Warren?
Yep, we're good.
We're good? All right. Come say a word of encouragement to the Plunkets before you head off to Sunday school. Let's all stand and close by singing Celebrate Jesus.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He is risen.
Of our Lord,
celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.